Welcome to Built Brave. Driven women sharing their stories to show others what is possible for them. Because we were all born brave. I'm your host, Lo Wentworth, and this is Built Brave. Are you ready? Hey everyone, I'm so excited you're here listening to the first episode of my podcast, and it's me being interviewed by one of my really good friends, Alicia. It was just really important for me to be able to give you guys as my audience that basis for who I am, a little bit of my background so that we can grow and learn together. You can learn more about me on Instagram, and I'll be sharing so many more solo episodes as well with you guys. And I mean, we really get into it. We go all over the place, where I grew up to moving halfway across the country, learning to trust my intuition, and how being bit by a baby python fits into all of that, to manifesting what I want, what my definition of brave is, why I'm starting this podcast, and so much more. So I'm really excited you guys are here. So let us begin. Everyone, I am so excited to have my friend Alicia here. Say hi, Alicia.
Hello.
And she is going to be interviewing me, actually, today.
Already with a plot twist.
Uh-huh. I love plot twists.
That just started. There's already a twist.
And so that way you guys can get to know me, and if there's, like, any questions that pop up and, like, all of that, because, you know, I'm excited to get to know more about you guys, and, of course, I want to share my own story. All right, Miss Alicia, take it away.
All right. Well, hello, everybody, again. So, Lo, why don't we start with you telling everybody just a basic background. Where are you from? What do you do? Just basic things.
Basic. Okay. So, I'm originally from Iowa, Eastern Iowa. No one can ever pronounce my name, or my name, my hometown name. I grew up there, and then I
Well, how do you pronounce it?
Maquoketa.
Maquoketa.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. It apparently means some sort of barren Indian sometime or something, French Indian. Oh. Fun facts. I grew up there, and then I went off to Iowa State and majored in journalism. And then after that, I went to law school, graduated from law school actually from Drake. And then over, what, like 18 months ago, year and a half ago, I up and moved from Minneapolis to Philadelphia. So yeah, that's just the quick rundown.
What brought you to Philadelphia?
So I have always, like, loved the East Coast. Like, New York has been, like, the number one place I've always wanted to be. But I was doing an emotional intelligence training, leadership training that had me coming out to Philadelphia for like 6 months straight, once a month. And I was just like, fell in love with the city. And it was kind of like, you know, don't want to be in the Midwest. As much as I loved growing up there, it's not where I belong. So I just up and moved. So it was a life choice.
Wow, that's a big change.
Oh, it's a massive change.
Yeah, I imagine.
Lots of growth happened.
I believe it. I can only imagine.
Yeah, but it was much needed, and I was so glad that I did it. Like, I never regretted it, even, like, in the middle of those moments when you're, like, bawling your eyes out, trying to, like, I don't know, figure out life, get a job, move to get your own place or whatever it may be, but then I would just be, like, never going to regret it.
Right. So talk about courage.
Yeah.
That takes a lot of courage. I mean, I've never lived anywhere but Philadelphia, so I wouldn't, you know what that involves. I mean, I can only imagine. So.
Well, it was nice to have, like, a network of people out here already. So that was just, like, made the transition easier, some support going on. But it's still, like, I mean, I love my family, but I think my family's kind of like, well, this is just a whim. Mm. She'll come back and it's like something like that. Or at least that's what I'm telling myself. Yeah. But it just seems like that a little bit with some of the conversations where I'm like, nah, this is more of a permanent thing. You guys kind of knew when I was going to fly the Midwest coop that I wasn't going to be coming back anytime soon.
Right, right. Well, then you start to create your own family and community. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like as we get older, you know, of course we always have our family, but then we build our own family and surround ourselves with people that support us and encourage us. Mm-hmm. So once you build that family, it's like, how do you let that go and ever go back? You know, how could you, you know, ever go back?
Right. Well, that's true. And it's also really challenging as well, like balancing it all. Just with like, it's interesting that we're going to the family topic, but just learning like who you want to surround yourself with and be with and like what type of energy. And a lot of times, and I've heard other people in like the personal development space or like all of that, like realizing that, you know, sometimes your family isn't your blood, and sometimes there are people in your family where they're just not good for you and your energy, and that you just, you'll get to be okay with letting it go and being how it is. I mean, if you go and see them at holidays or whatever and visiting, like, just, you know, go with the intention, like, this is only temporary, like, you know, and then also if you get triggered, do the opposite of what you would normally do, because that has saved me a lot of arguments and heartache and frustration, going, okay, well, I can be a hothead because I'm a redhead. And family can be challenging, but instead of like going down the rabbit hole of arguing, like, what can I do instead? So
amazing, amazing, powerful stuff already. What are we, 3 minutes in?
I don't even know how far we're in. So
what, tell me a little bit about, I mean, now that you're here and you're settled and you have your support, tell me a little bit about your vision for your future.
My vision for my future is really like to do more coaching and like no worries.
Let's just acknowledge that. Sorry.
To like start like coaching people and doing more like stuff on Instagram and blogging and then this podcast and really just, you know, going around in public speaking. I mean, I've been chasing this vision since I've had when I was 16 years old. It was me like sitting, like I could see the back of my whole outfit and head and all of that, like sitting in like an actor's chair, like being interviewed, like my hair's all up in a bun, like I'm wearing jeans, I have like my favorite black pair of booty heels on, and then like more like a jean button up and all of that with my like classic bold necklace. So it was just interesting, like I've been chasing after that, and then like I have always like asked myself the question of everything I've done is like, will that get me there? And yes, there have been no's, but I've still done the thing anyway, so life lessons there, but they needed
always
to
be no's.
So yeah, and it's really just trusting, learning to trust your intuition and your gut on that. I think that's also one thing that I've noticed since really taking that leap of faith on myself is trusting in my intuition and, you know, putting myself in situations. Like, I love hiking, but I never have, like, my phone on me, and I just hike. I always end up back where I started. I never go the same way, like, and it's just trusting my intuition, like, which ways to go, and that's built a lot of strength.
Wow, I like that correlation. Because I don't think I've ever gone hiking without my backup. I should try that one time.
Well, I mean, I have my phone with me, but it's like airplane mode just in case. But I'm like, I don't look at a map. I don't really worry about what I'm going to come across.
Trust yourself.
I trust myself. I try to avoid areas where there most likely will be snakes. Doesn't always happen, but yeah, I have a thing with snakes, apparently.
I remember. Can we tell them about this story?
When the python bit my finger?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay, there's the punchline, everyone. Oh, so yeah, I lost a bet essentially, and so I went to go find a python or like to hold a snake, and it was really challenging to find an exotic pet store, and I knew I was in trouble from the beginning, and because I walked into the store. They have the snakes all in their little cases, but in their own like little room, and they have like that door, like service. If you'd get food and like any like food stand you'd go to, and I just froze, and I'm like, oh no, this is not good. And so like one of the attendants is like, do you like need any help? I'm like, oh, I would like to hold a snake, and they're like, well, you can go in there. So it was just hanging out in there next to all of these snakes of various sizes in their little glass casings, and I'm just staring at them. There was like this one orange corn snake that kept looking at me, and I'm like, I'm not holding you because you can sense the fear on me, so this isn't happening. But like I'm there, that felt like an eternity, but I don't even know if it was like 10, 15 minutes. And so like the guy finally comes to me. And to get the snake, and I wanted this specific snake, but he gave me what came out of my mouth was quote unquote the scariest looking snake.
Oh,
And
interesting.
he just plopped the snake in my hand, and I knew I was in trouble because like my grandfather taught me enough about animals and snakes and like how like snakes also like breathe in your fear, and I could see the body of it like breathing it in, and I'm like trying to calm down because I also had like quivering fingers. Wasn't paying attention, like needing to get a picture. And as I'm pulling the picture up to hand it to the guy, the snake strikes my
Oh my
finger and then wraps around it. So it was like trying to like kill my finger to eat my finger. And so, I mean, the one thought that came over my head was just calm. I'm like, I can't fail to fling my hand around because it's going to make it worse. Just be calm. And so I'm there, and the guy's trying to get the snake off my finger. And mind you, it's like 1,000 needles in my hand. And I'm like, you're not doing it. It's not gonna happen. Like he's trying
He
every
was
different.
still latched on. Oh my
Still
goodness.
latched on. And finally, the guy's like, well, you're gonna have to push your finger further in his mouth. I'm like, great. That's exactly what I want to do, is push my finger further in a snake's mouth. Perfect.
Oh, I
Awesome.
never heard the details of
Yo,
the
yeah, I've never,
story.
yeah, it didn't really like straight. So finally that worked, and he like plopped the snake in the, he had like what would be like a Kool-Aid pitcher of water to try to cool the snake down, and put the snake back in its cage. And like I took a picture of the snake like in its like all glory and mouth open, like trying to find. But anyways, to make things even better, the guy goes, I don't know what happened. I don't know what like went wrong, and I'm sitting here. How the hell do you not know? Like they sense fear. That's their primal mechanism for getting their food. Like how do you not know? And he goes, because I think that snake has been held by like at least 30 other people and hasn't bit anyone. I'm like, thank you. Not making me feel better, but thank you. And so yeah. Yep, that's how I was bit by a mini python. And so since
That's
then.
like traumatic.
Yeah,
I would be
I
traumatized.
did. I got to my car, and before I could bolt my eyes out, a lady who was in the store also came up to me and was like, oh, I hope this doesn't deter you from ever getting a snake as a pet. And I'm like, first of all, I was never going to get a snake as a pet. So, not gonna happen. And then, most definitely, was just because it's like that primal fear, like, comes over you. Like, you're just like, oh my God. The tiny snake couldn't have killed me, but just the fact of the matter of like it all just triggered that flight or fight. And I'm just like, all right,
Yeah, once you're in
okay.
that state, it's not easy to get out for sure.
So, yeah.
Wow. And so you've come across snakes from hiking, while hiking?
Oh, yes. All like one snake just walked right. Like it didn't walk
Walked.
right, it walked. It was slithering like on the path, and my foot was right next to it, and I freaked the hell out. And I wanted it to like move, to, like finish crossing, and it didn't. So I walked into the bushes, into more snake care
More snakes.
territory, and out.
Sounds smart.
Right. And it turned the same way and went back the same way I came in, talking about like intuition. I'm like, it's not gonna move until I move, and it's gonna turn this, it's gonna go back the way it came. So I'm like watching it. So yeah, there was that.
Another time I was walking and the snake was just slithering, and I scared it more than it scared me because it was surprised, like something came right in front of it, because it was just cruising along,
right.
And it immediately turned right back around to where it came from.
Good.
And then the last time, this is all summer hiking, by the way. The last time I wanted to go and put my feet in a water over like a dam, and I started walking over, and then I stopped dead in my tracks because there was a snake sunbathing on the rock I wanted to go to, and I'm like, nope, I'm done.
Interesting how you're attracting snakes.
Well,
so, I mean, I guess not really when you're hiking.
Right.
It's bound to happen.
But I've
never encountered so many snakes.
Right, I know. Like, I was actually up in the Poconos and walking with one of our friends, Cirilla, who got to see me freak the hell out because we did see a live snake. We actually saw we saw five of them. Three were dead. One was just the snake skin of it, and then the other one was the live one. That I was just like, oh my gosh. But it was just, people were coming up to me, were just like, well, snakes are all about transformation and all of that, and the shedding of the skin. And, you know, I did some more research about it, and like snakes, also they get more reactive or more aggressive when they're shedding skin because it's just so painful for them. So there was just like moments in my life when I saw them, like, oh, that makes sense. For me now, like, if his transformation is doing this, but then I'm like, why do I keep seeing them? And it's like, someone else pointed out it to me. It's like the flip side, like this, like a snake would strike and like attack, like one wrong move or whatever. And it's just like, you know, sometimes even in my own journey of learning how to use my voice and speak my truth, it's felt like, oh, that's what it feels like. I feel like someone's going to snap at me for speaking my truth because it's not in alignment with theirs. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no one's ever going to know the truth. Mm-hmm. Like, there's the truth, but you're going to perceive the truth one way. I'm going to perceive the truth one way. Mm-hmm. And there's never really going to be a middle ground ever because we have these filters. So that's where I'm like, okay, I'm going to speak my truth anyway. Like, if you don't agree with it, cool. But I'm also not going to come to your side and say you're right because your truth isn't the same as my truth.
Right.
So, yeah. But, yeah.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Signs of the universe.
Oh, gosh. Signs of the universe. I mean, you've been learning about that a lot lately.
It's very, very true. It's a real thing.
Yeah.
So let's go back to intuition.
Mm-hmm.
Can you speak more into that and how listening to your intuition has guided you to where you are right now today?
Mm-hmm. So with intuition, it's been, for me, learning how to build trust into that again. I mean, I've always been intuitive. I've always known certain things were going to be happening in my life from a very young age. I mean, the earliest memory of that was like when I was in fifth grade. I knew like 30 seconds before they were going to announce who got the Most Improved Award, and that was going to be given to me. And so one of my classmates afterwards asked me if I knew, because I wasn't shocked. I wasn't surprised because I just like knew. And I'm like, I just knew. Duh. Just know. Can you get that? But it's just like learning those moments. And then like, again, like with hiking, why another reason I hike so much is to build that trust into that intuition and listen to it and see why it's guiding me a certain area or a different way, and just trusting that I'll know when it happens or like whatever I'm supposed to see. So with anyone who's trying to build their intuition, sometimes it's just as little as, you know, going a different way home. Your like intuition's like, no, you should take a left instead of going a right, and just seeing how that is. Because there's also been times where I'm like, I should have taken the left and not the right, and then, you know,
I was gonna actually ask that. Let's talk about the times where maybe your intuition was wrong and how does that make you feel?
I don't think your intuition is ever wrong. Mm-hmm. I think whatever you're supposed to ever find, it's guiding you to whatever you need. I mean, getting into it, like, you know, I was rear-ended a couple weeks ago, and, you know, since then, it's just, like, trusting, like, the universe has your back going into that. Because then there's been a series of other things, like a wheel came off my car. Well, if I didn't get rear-ended, then maybe the wheel wouldn't have come off my car and something even worse would have happened. And so that it was just supportive that way of like, okay, that's how it was meant to be. Yeah. But like, you know, the intuition never steers you wrong because there's either a lesson or a blessing for you there. And so a lot of times, like, when people distrust their intuition, it's really, or they, like, follow it and then something, quote-unquote, bad happens. Well, you were meant to learn it for that lesson.
Yeah.
And it's to prepare you for what you want versus the times, like, you know, the scenario of, like, you should have taken a left instead of going right because your intuition told you to. There could be something that could have happened. You could have gotten in a car accident or you could have gotten a chip in your windshield. Or, like, because that has happened to me, too, where I'm like, oh, this is why I shouldn't have. Or, like, whatever it may be. And sometimes, like, over time, you start building that trust. I mean, there was one time I was on my way to work, and I'm like, I have to pee so badly. But in my mind, it's just like, we'll go to this Target that pulls off the side. Like, I'm like, oh, there's a gas station that I could do or this. I'm like, nope. It's like kept going to this Target, like whatever it may be. And then I walk into the Target bathroom and I find 22 pennies just hanging out there. Like, I was shocked. They lived behind me.
I struggle.
I'm just like, pretty much that's how it felt. Like, I felt like a leprechaun at the end of a rainbow. But I look behind me, I'm like, sure, is there someone up behind me coming back to get this? Because I'm like, I can understand, like, a couple coins, but, like, 22 of them just hanging out there, like, no one picking it up. So, yeah, I'm like, oh, that was why I had to, you know, stop and use Target.
You know, I will tell you, whoever dropped those pennies didn't want to look like a fool picking them up because I have, while walking along, you know, this was, like, many, many years ago, but while walking along, like, my wallet is unzipped and, you know, unknowingly, and there goes all my change, and when it happens, you know, you're just like, oh. And I remember being like, well, whatever, I'm just going to keep walking. It's like a pride. Yeah, it's so silly.
Yeah.
So silly, but I bet you the person just didn't want to. You
know. Which is entirely possible, but I was just like, okay, like, cool. I'm picking them up. I mean, that day I found, what was it, 49 cents in change? So, yeah, I'm like, okay, cool beans. Whatever. It's meant to be that way.
Right. Nice. Yeah, so it's interesting how you talk about trusting your intuition builds, you know, it builds trust in yourself. And that essentially leads to more confidence. And isn't that, you know, confidence? I just was listening to someone the other day and they were talking about how confidence is a skill that you can build and can become stronger. It's not necessarily a personality trait, you know, it's something that anybody can practice and get better at. So, you know, and that comes with trusting your intuition, building your confidence, and that ultimately, I mean, the goal is to get you in action, right, towards your goal and your vision for your life. Would you agree with that?
And yeah, I would agree with that. And I would add to that, like, with the confidence building, it's also doing what you're, like, afraid of. You know, having taking that courage, taking that courageous step towards what it is. And slowly you build confidence, like, over time and following it. I mean, a lot of people don't take that first step because they're just crippled by fear and by their ego. And sometimes you just have to do it. I mean, there have, like, I'm not immune to it. There are some things that I've put off doing because of fear and, like, I get in my head. And then, like, sometimes I get to the point where I'm like, I'm just over myself and just take the first step to see what happens.
Yeah.
And so that's where, you know, a lot of, you know, trust in myself has come as well. I mean, I've been doing it all my life. Just different things that people didn't expect me to do or, like, you know, I'm going to go do this and then I go do it. Like, moving halfway across the country is like the biggest one, like, example I can give for people. But,
So, why don't you talk about a little bit about your career as a lawyer and how, that fits in the puzzle of your life?
So how that fits in the puzzle of my life, I really think it's so I could connect with attorneys and speak their language, because I'm really obsessed with language, like how people say things, what they say, like wanting to also like really connect with them, because I've also felt like unheard and people not trying to connect with me, so I don't want anyone to ever feel that way. But how that plays out is, like, I've always known I was going to go to law school when I decided, like, if I didn't go when I did right out of college, I'd like be graduating now. But being an attorney isn't like meant for me, and I'm okay with that, which has taken a minute to be okay with, because then you have all of these outside factors about you went to school for this long and, you know, all of this money and just like all of that, and how could you not be a lawyer, and like everything there, and I go, like, it's just not for me. Like,
I feel like I'm hearing this more and more, you know, as we as a society are becoming more aware and conscious of things, which I don't know if it's because of social media. I'm sure that plays a huge part, but I feel like we are in some ways becoming a little more self-aware and conscious. And as this happens, I've been hearing more and more of people leaving their careers that, you know, they invested in, you know, time and money, and now are like, this is not for me, and I'm out. I mean, I did the same thing. I mean, not so drastically. I mean, I still utilize my degree, but I'm not hands-on anymore like I used to be. And but I just feel like it's becoming more and more common, and in a way accepted by maybe our peers, and maybe not so much our parents.
It's but, really a generational thing on that one. But yeah, I mean, I think most of us have seen, you know, our parents and older generation, just seen them like pour their lives into something that didn't make them happy. And they're just choosing that they don't want that. They want their happiness. And just like being an attorney, even though it's like supporting me, and there's like different reasons why I'm still doing it right now, because I'm still learning different things. It's just not, it doesn't make me happy. And I know there's a crap ton of attorneys out there that hate their job. It doesn't make them happy. And then there are also a lot of people out there who went to law school, did the attorney thing, but aren't attorneys, but and are not even doing stuff in the legal field either. But there's so much shame around that that they don't even talk about it, which I'm like, it's part of your story. You shouldn't be ashamed of it anyway. Like, who cares what anyone else thinks about it? I mean, you know.
Easier said than done for a lot of people.
Very much. Very much so.
A lot of people.
But then it goes back to a phrase I heard over and over again. Like, you know, the people aren't paying your bills.
Exactly.
They're not living your life. They don't know what makes you happy. They don't know, like, any of that. Only you do. So it's kind of just showing like what you're wanting to do, and if you want to utilize it, then utilize it. But if you want to do something different, you sure as hell have a lot of skill sets that are transferable.
I would imagine so.
Well, it's not just with attorneys, it's just with like other things as well, as people just don't see that.
Very true. Well, and that's again about your own awareness, self-awareness, and knowing, well, yeah, if I can do this, I can transfer it and apply it here. But knowing how to market that and sell, you know, advertise yourself to other companies in different positions, and being like, well, yeah, maybe I didn't go to school and I don't for this and don't have a degree here. However, I have this and this and this.
And again, with that is also like, you know, words, seeing what the keywords are. Like, you look at the job posting and you just sprinkle that in throughout your resume, cover letter, like, because so much there are machines or like programs that are trying to pick out those key phrases or keywords. So that will be supportive. It'll take a little extra work and effort, but I mean, isn't your happiness worth it?
Yeah. Awesome. So let's talk about your vision now, you know, you've been an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
You realize it's not for you.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have this calling to be life coach, speaker, and you're doing this podcast. Mm-hmm. So what's your vision for this podcast? Or what was your, let's talk about your inspiration.
Oh, my inspiration for my podcast, I mean, going back to the title, like Built Brave, I kept getting this feedback from people that were like, oh, you're so brave, you're so brave. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, what the hell are you looking at? Because internally I didn't feel it, but I kept getting it. And then I understood, like, why, because of, like, I've done things, like moving halfway across the country, like starting over my life, all of that. And those are the moments that people see that bravery, like actually choosing me instead of like society's choices or whatever for that. But the whole concept of Built Brave is to, you know, remind women and showcase women who are doing brave things, whatever that may be, following their own dreams essentially, and that their voice matters. And that just comes up a lot for me, like everyone's voice matters. And, you know, a lot of my life I've seen what I didn't want, and it was challenging to find like examples of what I did want. So that's also another driving force about, you know, why I'm being shown, like why I'm speaking now and, you know, showing my face, why I'm starting this podcast, because I want there to be opportunities for more driven women like me out there and showing other people, other women, that whatever is capable for them, whatever is possible, that these are different examples and different things, and that, you know, you're not alone and we're all struggling, and that, you know, that you can do it. I mean, the greatest example for that is like seeing what I want in a romantic relationship and what that partnership looks like. And, you know, thank God Rachel Hollis and Dave Hollis have started shining their light on their relationships. And then like Julianne Hough and her husband, Brooke Likes. And I'm just like, that's what I want. I'm like, you guys need to speak up more, because there are more people who need to see that.
Yeah.
Instead of the traditional, you know, what everyone's always saw.
I mean, I'm living that right now, so I hear you on that.
I really
like that, because so many women do grow up and, like you said, see bad examples, and, you know, they see their parents living this, you know, life of, you know, it's no excitement, no joy, no laughter, and just, you know, oh, I gotta go to work and pay the bills. And I mean, at least in my circle growing up, that was just everybody. And there weren't those examples of women stepping up and stepping out, and or men either, really, for that matter. I mean, at least not for me growing up, I didn't have any of those examples. So to be a platform for people to, you know, step out and be able to share that with women, like, yeah, this is happening and it's possible. I like that a lot.
Very much so. And like, I mean, I grew up the same way, as just seeing that, like, you know, you get married, you pay the bills, then your life is all about paying the bills. And then you don't, like, you don't see that love and affection, you know, like you do in movies and like all of that, where you're like, it's entirely possible. Like, if you can envision it, it's possible. If movies are putting it out there, that means they've seen it somewhere as well. But it's just,
it's believing too.
It is believing
that it's possible, not just hearing that it is, but really believing it in your core.
That too.
All right, so Built Brave. I love that title, by the way. What would you say, well, I think you kind of already touched on this, would be the bravest moment of your life? Is it the move, or is there...
You know, that's really hard to say, like, what the bravest moment of my life is. I mean, the move was a major brave mm-hmm. moment, but it was also, like, going back and talking to the intuition, it just felt right. Mm-hmm. Like, there was just this calm, like, I'll be okay no matter what happens, because a lot happened once I moved and doing all of that, that it was, like, the right choice for me. Oh, I mean, I think really it's just a series of things, but the one that pops up in my head the most is how I view people and or how I've chosen to view people. That I was at a really young age, I don't know, like I want to say around 8, and I just saw like my father just going down the negative negativity train about how like the world is out to get him and then like people are bad and like all of that, and I'm just like, I never want to see the bad in people. I always want to see the good.
Wow.
And so since
this was at 8.
Oh yeah, this was at 8. And so since then I think that's just really created who I am today, and just always seeing the good in people and then like, you know, doing my own thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, yeah.
So what would you say is the definition of being brave?
Following your heart. I think in the world we live in today, like really following your heart is the bravest thing you can do, because not everyone's doing it. Everyone's chasing after like the likes and or like the comments, like with social media and the Instagram and being seen and having all their high numbers. But it's like, really, is that what you want? Like, is that
what really, does that really give you at the end of the day?
Right, like it's filling a void somehow, some way. But if you like actually ask yourself like what it is you want and then follow it, like definition of brave.
Wow, I've never heard. I like that one a lot.
You can steal it and make it your own.
Well, you know, if you were to have asked me my definition of brave, yeah, I think I would have piggybacked off of other people's definitions, which was always kind of, you know, being afraid to do something and doing it anyway, you know? I guess that's, you know, comes with heart too, like, to do something that you're afraid to do, you better have heart, you know, that you would hope that you're following your heart doing that. So
I mean, it took me a minute to get to that definition, because, you know, when we all think of something brave, we always think of like some like, you know, like the Die Hard films or like whatever, like you're going to war for something, and that, like, you know, the bravery and those warriors and all of that, when you know the simplest, bravest acts are like doing what you want and having the courage to follow it.
Awesome. So what would be, are there any podcasts, books out there now that have inspired this that you would recommend?
Yeah, so the podcast that keeps coming up for me is The Skinny Confidential, like him and her podcast, and I just like love them. I mean, they're also a prime example of like, I want my relationship to be like that. That's fun. But really just behind their own, like, you know, mission and who they are, they like stay in their own lane, they build what they want to build, they're creating stuff to support people and inspire people to change their lives. So The Skinny Confidential, him and her podcast. One of the books that I read during yoga teacher training was How Yoga Works, and I just loved it because it told it through like a story of different concepts and different things about teachings of yoga and, you know, personal development stuff in there that I'm just like, oh, it made it easier for me to like understand, because I'm such like, I love stories. And then another book that I love that I recommend to, like, anyone, like, with money stuff and money manifestation is The Latte Factor. Like, it just, again, another story, and it hits home, and I'm like, oh, that makes so much sense. But, yeah.
I'm still reading them.
That's okay. I mean,
I always read too many books. once, you know.
It happens like, all the time.
I want to read all the books.
Yeah. I mean, I'll do a whole podcast about money manifestation and, like, all of that.
Oh, I can't wait for that one.
Yeah. I mean, I love talking about it. Again, it goes to, like, some mindset things and different stuff, which, you know, mindset you can't get me off of, so.
Yeah. I mean, that's what everything starts with, right?
Mm-hmm.
It starts with that. So, I'm excited that you're doing this, but aside from the podcast, what is something else right now in your life that you're excited about?
Well, I mean, another thing that pops up is like the micro blogging I'm doing on Instagram as well. It's just...
Which is beautiful, by the way.
Thank you.
Go check her out. What's your... tell them your IG.
My handle is Lo Wentworth. And at Lo Wentworth. But yeah, it's just another avenue for me to like write. I'm really getting excited about writing. And then like also speaking my truth. It's a lot like I always challenge myself in different ways because there was a period of time where I started journaling. But I'm like, okay, journaling's not stretchy enough for me. Like, okay, cool. I'm going to journal. Like very like whatever mindset about it. And like, how can I make it even bigger? And I'm like, oh, I'll just post again on Instagram, like what my findings, like what the overarching theme was for that day. And so I did, and it, you know, I got some interesting feedback about it, but I also posted some stuff about like, I was going through some shit and I was still like posted the generalization of it, like the different things of being like, you know, whatever is going on, because I'm also like, someone needs to know that they're not alone.
Yeah.
Like I can't.
Well, and being authentic.
Right. That's why authentic. Like, it can't just be, you know,
positive
and, like, all of that. Like, you know, sometimes life happens and, you know, it gets real. And I'd rather share that, you know, I'm going through it and I'm real just like each and every one of you. So, really, that's also addition why, like, the podcast was, like, the extra layer of that. Because I'm like, oh, I've already done that. So, how can I add to that? But then... You know, for me, it's focusing on my health and, you know, getting excited about, like, actually taking care of myself. But, yeah, and my whole theme for this upcoming year is to, like, chasing 30. Because I'll be turning 30 in 2020. I'm like, yeah, ooh, age. Okay, cool, people. And people are like, oh, 30's not a big deal. I'm like, no. Let me tell you my intention behind it. So, like, the whole reason I'm chasing 30 is because I don't want to feel like anyone else feels at 30. Like, you hear, like, oh, my life is over, or, oh, I wish this,
oh
or, like,
gosh.
Oh, like, see? All of that. And, like, you know, I've also, another, going back to Brave Moments, I've always done the opposite of, like, how I don't want to feel or what people do.
I think 30 is so young. I don't understand people that are, like, oh, my gosh, no, it's so young, and it's, like, honestly the best.
Well, so that
time of life. Well, I say that now. I'll probably say that again when I turn 40.
Right, which is perfectly fine. And I'm just
and then
like
50 and sick, you know.
Right.
I'll be 70. Like, what?
But that's just the whole like intention is like, okay, I'm chasing 30. I'm gonna set like end cap my 20s and then set it up for my 30s and set it up in a way that makes me feel good and not be like the regrets, even though I say, like, I don't regret anything in my life because it's part of who I am. Like, any decision I've ever made, like, why would you regret yourself in that? It's part of who you are. You did that then. Like, okay, so what? You learned.
Yeah.
I think that's another thing.
Oh.
I think that's another thing. People mistake regret for the lessons that they learned, and they didn't want to, like, learn those lessons, but they needed to learn those lessons. But, yeah, so, yeah. That's what I guess. That's really all of this is what I'm excited about is chasing 30.
That's awesome. Yeah, I was the same way. I was like, I'm turning 30. Like, watch out.
It's just
I'm gonna shine even brighter.
It's just wanting to have fun with it. So like, why not?
Listen, you know, more and more the being present keeps coming up for me. Like just being present, and. You know, time is now type of thing. I mean, it's just so true. We had, like, our life is happening right now, not in the future. What's already done is in the past. Like, we have to show up now, right here, right now. And age doesn't know that. Mm-mm. Doesn't matter what age you are, you know? I mean, I know women who are in their 60s having the time of their life.
Those are my spirit animals.
I mean, honestly, 60 mm-hmm. is young.
It is.
60 is still young, okay? Mm-hmm. So it's that mindset, though. It's like, it is what you believe mm-hmm. it to be. And if there are people out there, I mean, you know that meme of that, like, 99-year-old, like, on the back of a jet ski, mm-hmm. like, still going strong? I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know if she was 99, but she was in her 90s. Old, right. Okay? What we think as old, okay? And she was out there living her best life. And mm-hmm. so if that's possible, but then you see people giving up at 50, they think it's, you know.
Or even younger, like, yes. 20s. They graduate college, I mean. I did go through my quarter life crisis literally at 25, so I understand it. But like thinking, like, you know, it's the comparison game. Like you see other people, like with Instagram and all of that, they're just like, mm-hmm. oh, but so and so's already been a millionaire. Yeah. Okay, cool beans.
Yeah.
That's their timeline, not yours.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting that you say like being present, because you know the intention bracelets.
Yeah.
I got one. It says presence on it. Mm-hmm. And you can write a whole little thing for them as they're doing it to set that intention. And it's really, it was just like, you know, for me, like the mantra that just came up to me one time was, my presence is my power. Mm-hmm. And I'm like,
that's so good.
Uh-huh.
I'm stealing that.
Go for it. Take it.
I mean, it's something you have to practice, you know, like when you're so used to, you know, for me, I suffered with anxiety and depression, and I don't know if you've heard this. I heard it recently, that anxiety is your fear of the future and depression is you living in the past
mm-hmm.
in your mistakes and, you know, what have you. So when I heard that, I was like, oh, that's so true. And that the only way to really overcome those two things is by being present in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're so used to living, you know, in your head, either in the past, like upset about the past or worried about the future, that becomes a habit. So you have to practice presence sometimes by the hour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's moments during the day where I'm present, I'm showing up, and then I get back in my head and I have to pull myself back up. Nope, like, oh, nope, mm-hmm. you're here, right here, right now. Like, don't be up in your, like, everyone's living in their head half the time, I feel like, and they're not here,
or
they're not showing up.
They're, like, in their head or they're on their phones.
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean.
True.
Yeah.
True.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, practice presence.
Well.
What else do, any last words you want to tell your audience?
I'm just really excited about this all, like,
yeah.
truly, to be honest about it, like, excited to see what comes up from it all, what, mm-hmm. you know, yeah, really what comes from it, and, like, who I become. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do a lot of, like, intention journaling or, like, future letter journaling and stuff like that, which I will definitely share with you guys, and mm-hmm. again, with, like, manifestation as well, but it's just, like, really, this is just, I'm just excited. I don't think I've ever felt like this before.
Wow.
I think that also goes with, like, trusting your intuition and following it.
It's a good sign.
Yeah, very good.
Do what makes you happy.
Yeah.
And brings you joy.
All right.
I'm so excited for you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you for coming on.
It was such a pleasure and an honor.
I loved it. And you know why. you always seem to ask the questions that pull things out. Oh. So that was just the whole intention behind it all. So I very much appreciate it. And I'm so thankful and grateful to have you in my life and your friendship. Like,
likewise.
Oh, God. You put me in my place when I've needed it, and it's just all the more.
Likewise.
it's been all the more, like, she's my people.
Oh, I love you.
All right. Love you, too. Okay. Bye. Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Built Brave. If you love this episode, heck, if you like this episode, please head on over, give it a rate, review, subscribe, like, shout it out on your social media with your major takeaways and what you loved about the episode. And as always, tag me in that.
at Lo Wentworth because I love hearing what you guys got out of the episodes. And until next time, remember, you've always been brave.